Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Tired of trying diet after diet without results? Mochi Health offers a long-term weight loss solution personalized to your needs. Our board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians provide expert guidance to help you succeed. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medication at an affordable set price delivered monthly. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 for $40 off your first month. That's joinmochi.com.
Morgue workers, what is the weirdest cause of death you have been able to diagnose? How did you diagnose it? Story 1. A friend of mine works as an autopsy technician. He said it's not unusual for cats or small dogs to chew on the hands and face of a person who has died or is very sick and can't move. The hardest case he saw was an older woman who had a stroke that left her unable to move, but she was still alive. Her small dog bit and chewed on the parts of her skin that were not covered before she was found. She passed away a few hours after being taken to the hospital, and my friend did her autopsy. Story 2. I work as a criminal defense lawyer, and one case really stuck with me. My client was charged with murder after what seemed like a small argument that turned into a shoving match with another man. At first, it didn't look serious at all. There were no bruises, no scratches, and no visible injuries on either person. It seemed like just a regular fight. But things took a strange turn when the other man suddenly collapsed and died. During the investigation, the doctors did a detailed examination and found bleeding inside his brain, something called a subarachnoid hemorrhage. This kind of bleeding can happen when blood vessels in the brain burst, which is very dangerous. What made the case even more complicated was what showed up on the toxicology report. The man had a lot of alcohol and cocaine in his system. Cocaine makes the blood vessels tighten up and raises blood pressure, while alcohol thins the blood. This dangerous combination made his blood vessels very fragile and more likely to bleed. So when he bumped his head as he fell backward during the fight, it caused the blood vessels in his brain to burst. The bleeding happened very quickly, and he died within a minute. No one expected that such a small push could lead to such a tragic result. It was a really sad case for everyone involved, especially because it showed how dangerous the mix of drugs and alcohol can be. Even something that looks minor can have serious consequences. It also made my job harder, trying to explain how the death wasn't caused by violence, but by the effect of those substances on his body. Story 3. I have a friend who worked as an assistant to a city coroner for a few months. He told me about his wildest experience, which happened early in his time there. A man was brought in, believed to be dead. My friend wasn't sure exactly how the man ended up on the coroner's table, but since he was new, he didn't ask many questions. As my friend started the usual process of making a Y-shaped cut on the man's chest to examine him, he suddenly stopped. He noticed the man still showed faint signs of life. He turned to the mortician nearby and said, "Oh no, this guy's still alive." They quickly decided the best way to try to save him was to give him a shot of adrenaline. It turned out the man had a type of poisoning similar to what happens with puffer fish, which can make someone appear dead even though they are not. When the shot worked, the man woke up screaming and with his chest partly open from the incision. My friend said the whole moment felt surreal, like something out of a movie. Later, when people doubted the story, I asked my friend more questions. He explained that the man had been brought in by a transport team who only bring bodies they think are definitely dead. Somehow this man was missed, and my friend's quick action saved his life. It was a close call and a real example of how things can go wrong and right in unexpected ways. Story 4. This kind of situation isn't very common, but what the doctors had to do to save the mother was really intense. I heard this story from a nurse practitioner who used to work in India during my clinical rotations. The nurse practitioner was helping a doctor deliver a baby. As the baby was coming through the birth canal, its shoulder and head got stuck. The doctor tried to move the baby by reaching inside, but nothing worked. Sadly, the baby died while still stuck. Since the baby couldn't be delivered the normal way, the doctors decided to do a cesarean section to save the mother. They opened the mother's belly, but still couldn't free the baby's head and shoulder. After trying everything, the doctor had to make a very hard choice. The baby was already gone, so to save the mother's life, he had to carefully separate the baby's head from the body while still inside her. Then, they removed the body through the cesarean opening, and the mother delivered the baby's head separately. This all happened decades ago. If the doctor hadn't acted quickly and done this, the mother might have gone into shock or died. It's a very difficult and sad story, but his quick thinking saved her life. I can't imagine how anyone could live through something like that, but it shows how sometimes doctors must make tough decisions to save lives. Story 5. I'm a bit late sharing this, but my girlfriend worked as a mortician. She handled cases of people who died by their own choice. All such cases in the state were sent to her place. One time, an elderly woman with schizophrenia came in. She had somehow swallowed her own right arm from the elbow down and was halfway through swallowing the other arm, also from the elbow down, before she died from losing too much blood. These injuries were caused by herself, and there were no tools in the room. It looked like she either tore or bit off her arms. But she would have lost too much blood to be able to push them down her throat, so I still wonder how she did it. If I hadn't seen my friend's reaction the next day, I wouldn't have believed it. At the time they checked her, the first arm was already partly digested. The arms were complete but had big bruises and rough cuts. It was ruled a suicide because of her mental health and the fact that her apartment was locked from inside in a tall building. Also, my girlfriend then was just a close friend. From what I remember, all the cases she handled were suicides from the whole state. I'll ask her for more details when it's not so early. Story 6. I was a police officer and helped with a case about a man in his 50s who died on his couch. He had told his friends he wasn't feeling well for a few days and thought it might be a heart problem. But it wasn't. Here's something strange to worry about. The man had an undiagnosed condition called hemochromatosis, which means too much iron built up in his body. This damaged his liver over many years. Because his liver was sick, it couldn't handle blood properly. This caused swollen veins in his esophagus, the tube from throat to stomach. One day, one or more of these veins burst, and he slowly lost blood inside his digestive system. He thought he just had a stomach bug, but actually was bleeding badly and died while taking a nap. This took many years to happen. So remember to get regular health checkups. Story 7. I had esophageal varices when my liver failed. They were really painful. My worst bleed was when I threw up about 2 liters of blood at once. I pressed the call button and yelled for the nurses because I knew I was bleeding badly. I was only 18 and had been sick for a few years, so I understood what was happening. The nurses called my surgeons and moved me to a new room. I remember they put me to sleep because I couldn't see clearly, probably from losing more than half of my blood. I woke up 2 weeks later from a coma caused by liver problems. When I woke, I saw brown spots on the ceiling. I asked what they were, and they told me it was my own blood. The blood pressure was so high that when they opened my mouth for emergency surgery, blood sprayed up to the 10-foot ceiling. The high levels of ammonia in my blood caused my brain to stop working properly, which caused the coma. I'm thankful I didn't lose brain function, but I did lose some memories. Luckily, this bleed happened while I was in the hospital. If it had happened at home, I might not have made it to the hospital in time. This bleeding event made my doctors decide to try a liver transplant using a living donor. Even though I had serious varices and brain issues, my MELD score was only 14. Luckily, my aunt was a match and donated half of her liver to me. This September 30th will be my 6th liverversary. Without her gift, I might not have lived to see 20. Thanks to her, I just turned 25. Story 8. I'm an apprentice funeral director. One time, an autopsy technician came to my school to show us how an autopsy is done. Someone asked him a question about a case, and this is what he said. A man in his mid-50s showed signs of liver problems and jaundice, which usually come from heavy drinking, but he was said to have no drinking history. When the technicians looked him over, they saw a red liquid coming from his bottom. They thought it was blood, so they tested it. The test showed it was a mix of blood and red wine. It turned out the man was secretly an alcoholic. He would give himself enemas using alcohol he had, in this case red wine. The doctors think he accidentally damaged part of his colon or rectum with the enema, which caused bleeding and led to his death. Story 9. I was working on an ambulance team one night when we got called to a barricaded mail situation. The police had the man locked inside his house, and we were told to stand by outside. For about an hour, we waited in the ambulance, trying to stay awake, but honestly, it was quiet and slow. Suddenly, a cop came running over to our vehicle, banging hard on the window, looking panicked and urgent. He told us we needed to get inside the house right away. Something terrible had happened. When we got in, we found the man who had attempted to take his own life with a shotgun. From what we understood, he had placed the gun in his mouth but must have flinched or pulled back just before firing. The blast caused a horrible injury to his face. Instead of a normal face, there was a large open wound, with torn skin hanging in flaps that moved with his breathing. It looked so strange and disturbing that it reminded me of the scary mouth of the Predator from the movies. You know, those flapping mandibles. The room was silent except for the sounds of emergency care being given, but then I heard something I never expected. One of the ER nurses screamed out loud in shock at what she...
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save.
Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
So, she had worked in the hospital for years and said she had never seen anything like this before. Despite the shock and horror, we worked fast to stabilize him. It was one of those moments that sticks with you forever, a reminder of how fragile life can be and how quickly things can change. Story 10. A few years ago, I worked for a short time as a morgue assistant. My job was mostly moving bodies and holding organs while the pathologists did their work. The strangest and most shocking case I ever saw was a man who worked in a factory. He was supposed to be operating a high-speed conveyor belt. But instead of working, he was trying to get himself off by rubbing his private parts on the underside of the moving belt. Unfortunately, he got caught, and the belt tore off most of his crotch. He lost a lot of blood because his femoral artery, a big blood vessel in the leg, was cut. He bled out before the paramedics even arrived. His death was ruled death by misadventure, which means it was an accident that happened while doing something not meant to be dangerous, but done carelessly or in a risky way. I know there's a famous story about another guy in the U.S. who lost a testicle in a similar situation and survived. This case was in the south of England, and sadly, this man didn't make it. It seems there might be some overlap between clumsy people and factory workers when it comes to accidents like this. Story 11. I used to work with a forensic anthropologist during my college years. One of the weirdest cases I saw was from a collection of bones inherited from a coroner who worked in a big city back in the 1920s. Back then, coroners could take bones or body parts from people without telling their families. This was especially true for poor people, immigrants, or minorities. This coroner took a lot of bones and even tried to put some of them back together to show what the person looked like. In this collection, some bones were labeled as death by testosterone poisoning. That means the people didn't really die from too much testosterone, but because they did risky, stupid things, kind of like the TV show Jackass, but without any prize money. The strangest story was about a white man in his 40s who died from an infection after breaking his arm multiple times in an arm wrestling contest. Here's what happened. During the contest, he cracked his upper arm bone, the humerus. But he didn't want to lose, so he just wrapped it up with a makeshift splint. He had someone hold the broken part, and they continued the match, best 2 out of 3 rounds. In the next rounds, he broke the humerus all the way through and also broke 2 bones in his lower arm, the radius and ulna, when he slammed his arm down on the edge of the table in anger. One of the lower arm bones actually stuck through the skin. Instead of going to a doctor, he tried to ignore it. The wound got infected badly and turned gangrenous. The infection spread into his blood, and he died a few weeks later from septicemia, blood poisoning. When I looked at his bones, I could see all the breaks and where the infection damaged the bone without any signs of healing. Story 12. I'm not a medical worker or mortician, but I think this story fits the topic, so I want to share it. A few weeks ago, I was driving a man to a hospital about 3 hours away. He was a really interesting person and told me many stories from his life and old jobs. He talked about his family and mentioned he had 2 nephews, but now only one was alive. I asked what happened to the other one. He said his oldest nephew, around 28 years old, was riding his motorbike one weekend in the countryside here in the UK. Later that day, they found him dead by the side of the road, near a corner. His motorbike was right there, but there were no clear signs of a crash or injury that could explain his death. It took a long time to figure out what happened. Eventually, they found a small bruise about 1/2 inch wide on his temple. After investigating, they learned that the corner of the road had recently been resurfaced and had some loose stones on top. The nephew was riding around the corner at about 30 miles per hour when the bike slipped out from under him. As he fell to the side of the road, the footrest of the bike hit the corner of his helmet right where the visor was open. It struck his temple and killed him instantly. There was no reckless behavior and no one else involved, just very bad luck. Sometimes that's all it takes. Story 13. My dad shared this wild story with us once over dinner, and it stuck with me ever since. There was a man who came into the hospital bleeding badly from a stab wound. The doctors worked fast to stop the bleeding, but even after that, his condition kept getting worse. His heart rate was dropping, and his blood pressure was falling. Everyone was worried. Then someone pointed out something strange. There seemed to be too much blood for just the stab wound. So they carefully turned the man over to check him out more closely. That's when they saw it. Blood was coming from his bottom. It was shocking, and the story behind it was even crazier. Apparently, this man had been through something terrible. Someone had forced a light bulb up his rectum. The bulb broke inside him, causing serious internal injury. When the man tried to escape from whoever did this to him, he was stabbed as well. Despite all of this, he managed to get away and make it to the hospital. The doctors did everything they could to stabilize him, but the broken glass and injuries caused a severe infection inside his body. This infection spread quickly, and sadly, he died from septic shock, a life-threatening condition where the body's response to infection causes organ failure. It was one of those cases that reminded everyone how fragile life can be, how sometimes people survive the worst things but still face huge battles ahead. Hearing this from my dad like it was just a regular story at dinner made it even more unforgettable. Story 14. I worked at a funeral home for a few years, and my very first house call is one I'll never forget. We were called to pick up a man who had passed away at his home. When I arrived, his son told me something that immediately caught my attention. The man hadn't been to a doctor in over 20 years. That explained a lot, but nothing prepared me for what I was about to see. When we took his body to the medical examiner for examination, they discovered something truly shocking. The man had a massive hernia on his scrotum. It was about the size of a football. I honestly couldn't imagine how he lived with something like that hanging around every day. Apparently, he wore jeans and a jockstrap all the time just to keep it from swinging around too much. His poor toenails were another story, thick, long, and curled like dragon claws because he obviously couldn't bend down to trim them. It was clear he'd been struggling with mobility issues for quite a while. The medical examiner was so stunned by the size and condition that he picked up the phone and called another medical examiner on duty just to say, "Hey man, you need to come see this." It's not often they call each other like that. I kept thinking about the man's life, how he must have dealt with the pain and discomfort every day, how he probably hid from doctors because of fear or embarrassment. It made me realize how some people go through incredible struggles quietly, without anyone really knowing. That first call set the tone for my time at the funeral home, a reminder that behind every body is a story, sometimes strange, sometimes heartbreaking, but always human. Story 15. I'm not a funeral worker myself, but I recently talked to a friend who worked as an undertaker at a funeral home for about 10 years during the late 1970s and early 1980s. Back then, undertakers were often the ones responsible for collecting bodies directly from the scene of accidents or deaths. He told me about one of the most shocking cases he ever encountered. It happened on a country road in Oklahoma. Someone driving by noticed a car sitting in a field, and nearby was a young girl, maybe 16 or 17 years old, crying and screaming in shock. The car was something like a T-top Firebird, a sporty car with removable panels on the roof. When the responders looked inside, they saw something horrifying. The driver's seat had a body with no head. In the back seat was a head, separated from the body, and next to it was another boy who had been split in half at the stomach. The girl was so upset and hysterical that no one could get a clear story right away. But after a while, they figured out what happened. The driver had been sticking his head out of the open roof while driving, and the other boy was almost sitting up through the T-top as well. They lost control of the car, which went off the road and crashed through a barbed wire fence. One or two strands of the barbed wire stretched across the top of the car and cut right through, cleanly separating the driver's head and cutting the boy passenger in half at the abdomen. My friend said it took almost an hour for everyone to understand the scene fully. After that, he collected all the pieces and carried on with his work. Story 16. I'm probably late to the party, but I have a crazy secondhand story about something my cousin went through a few years ago. It's one of the strangest things I've ever heard, and I just have to share it. So, my cousin is a proctologist, a doctor who deals with problems in the lower digestive tract. His best friend from medical school became a mortician. They both ended up working at the same hospital. One morning, my cousin got a call from a patient who had an appointment later that day. The patient asked if he could come in early because his problem was getting worse. When the secretary asked what was wrong, the patient refused to explain but insisted on speaking with my cousin directly. My cousin is great with patients. He always takes time to listen and help. So he took the call and agreed to see the patient sooner. When the patient arrived, my cousin went into the exam room and asked what was wrong. The patient then stripped completely naked, got on all fours on the exam table, and stuck his rear end out. He started explaining that he kept leaking something painful from his anus. But my cousin quickly saw it wasn't leaking waste at all. Half a foot of the man's intestines were actually sticking out of his anus, pulsing with every breath. It was shocking. Before my cousin could even act, the patient screamed, "Just pull this damn thing out of me. Get it out." And reached back, grabbing his intestines and yanking hard. The pressure caused his anus to burst, spraying blood everywhere on the nurse and my cousin. The man screamed in pain so loudly it was like nothing my cousin had ever heard. He then passed out, fell off the exam table, hit his head in a chair, and died instantly. Later, my cousin's best friend, the mortician, did the autopsy. The cause of death was pretty straightforward, but the mortician found something strange inside the man's digestive system, an unraveled metal spring from a slinky toy. Apparently, the patient had swallowed a slinky and tried to straighten it out inside himself. Thinking about all that still makes me shiver. Story 17. I run a forensic science summer program for high school students, and one of our field trips is to a forensic medical center. The medical examiner there once shared a shocking story. He told us about a case where a body arrived at the center without a head. The man had been decapitated, and his body was dumped in a river. But here's the strange part: the killer was the victim's boyfriend. When the police caught him, they found the victim's head in his possession. Even more disturbing, the head had traces of semen on it, but tests showed none in the victim's stomach. The medical examiner said this was one of the most bizarre cases he had ever seen. Story 18. One of the strangest cases I've seen involved a young man who took his own life. It wasn't hard to tell it was suicide, but the weird part was that he and some friends were in what they call the suicide race, basically trying to see who could end their life first. This young man, about 21 years old, had overdosed on a mix of heroin, alcohol, and other drugs. It was his third attempt that week. We later found out that one of his friends from this group died the week before by being hit by a train. Seriously, don't try to end your life by jumping in front of a train. It's extremely messy, and we had to walk nearly half a mile along the tracks to make sure we found all the pieces. Plus, it puts the train conductor through a terrible trauma. What really annoyed me about this young man was that when we were getting the body ready, he was wearing 3 pairs of pants. I was the one who had to undress him, and it's already hard when the body is stiff from rigor mortis. He had regular jeans on, then a pair of Superman pajama pants underneath, and below those, Charlie Brown Christmas boxers in February. I swear he did it just to mess with whoever had to clean him up, which was me. Another odd case was a man who ended his life by crashing his car into a highway barrier. The impact stopped the car and his body, but his heart kept beating for a while. His body was completely torn apart inside, and then the car caught fire. He came in looking like a charcoal briquette, burned black and stiff. His brain looked like a hard-boiled egg, and his blood had turned into a jelly-like substance. It was a gruesome sight. Apparently, he did it because his girlfriend had broken up with him. Story 19. I came across a story a while ago that really stuck with me. I was working as an intern at a dental marketing agency, and part of my job was doing research. One article I read was about a 24-year-old man who died from what most people would think was just a toothache. This young man had a wisdom tooth that was causing him trouble. It needed to be removed, but he didn't have health insurance, and the cost scared him away from getting the treatment. So he just ignored the problem. Over time, the tooth became infected. His jaw and face started to swell up painfully. Eventually, the pain got so bad that he had no choice but to go to the emergency room. At the hospital, the doctors prescribed antibiotics to fight the infection and painkillers to help with the pain. But here's the heartbreaking part. The man could only afford to buy the pain medication, not the antibiotics. Without the antibiotics, the infection spread deeper into his body. It moved from his jaw into his bloodstream, and then into other organs. This kind of infection can become life-threatening very fast if it's not treated properly. Sadly, the infection overwhelmed his body, and he passed away. This story shocked me because it showed how something that sounds as simple as a toothache can become fatal if it's not treated, especially when money and access to care are issues. It really made me think about how important dental health is. How many people might be suffering silently because they can't afford care? Story 20. I'm not a medical professional, but I worked as a security guard at a big hospital for a while. I saw some really disturbing things come into the ER. Here's one of the strangest and most intense stories I remember. One day, an ambulance rushed in with a big biker-looking guy strapped to the stretcher. He was fighting hard to get free and yelling, "Let me die. I want to die." We helped the paramedics bring him into the ER, and I started hearing his story. This guy had tried to kill himself with a pen. He stabbed himself in the chest with a pen, pulled it out, then did it again over a dozen times. I thought, you'd have to really want to die to stab yourself in the chest once, but to pull the pen out and keep doing it. That's serious. This biker really wanted to die. He didn't care how many paramedics, nurses, or security guards he had to fight. There were 14 of us holding him down so the doctors could work on him. Even though he was tied up, he was so strong he would have broken free without us holding him. The worst part, he had pierced his heart and blood was filling up inside his chest. There was a young doctor in training, called a resident, who was panicking and asking the experienced doctor what to do. The older doctor just said, "You're the doctor. What do you decide?" The decision was urgent. The blood needed to be drained from his chest before it crushed his lungs. Here's the crazy part. The doctor took a cordless drill with a hole saw about the size of a quarter and drilled right through the biker's rib cage. Then he put in a plastic tube to drain the blood, which flowed into a big bucket on the floor. All 14 of us held the biker down while this was happening. Sadly, the biker got what he wanted. He didn't survive long after that. Story 21. Here's a truly unusual and tragic story about a welder who died while working on a ship. The welder was working down in the bilge of the ship. That's the lowest part of the vessel, where water and other fluids like urine and waste can collect. It's a dark, cramped, and often dirty space. While he was welding metal parts onto the ship, tiny molten droplets of metal fell into the liquid puddles around his feet. These droplets reacted with the liquids in the bilge, which included urine, creating a dangerous chemical reaction. The reaction released ammonia gas into the air, and not just a small amount. The ammonia concentration became high enough to be deadly. How was this discovered? A friend of mine, who was working in a lab, became curious about how welding in such environments might affect air quality. She collected her own urine samples over several days and then ran an experiment. She heated red-hot metal rods, similar to the welding materials, and dropped them into the urine samples inside lab flasks. Using a pH meter, she measured the ammonia gas released above the liquid. The results showed that the reaction produced a large amount of ammonia, enough to be toxic. This helped explain what happened to the welder. The toxic ammonia gas built up around him while he worked, causing his sudden death. It's a strange and sad reminder of how dangerous certain work environments can be, especially when chemicals and human waste combine in unexpected ways. In the end, you could say that the welder died from urine, which sounds strange, but it's true. Story 22. I'm a nurse, and I once cared for a patient who had a very serious and unusual problem. This patient hadn't had a bowel movement for 14 days. That's 2 full weeks without being able to go to the bathroom. The medical team tried everything to help her. They gave her enemas, prescribed laxatives like Miralax, and even performed digital disimpaction, which means manually removing the stool from her rectum. Despite all these efforts, the patient's condition worsened. She started to feel extremely anxious and had trouble breathing. The doctors were aware of her symptoms and were monitoring her closely. Then, after several hours, something unexpected and tragic happened. The patient vomited, but instead of food or stomach contents, she vomited stool, her own feces. Because she was so full of stool that it couldn't move through her intestines, it backed up and came out through her mouth. Unfortunately, she choked on it and passed away. It's a heartbreaking reminder of how severe constipation can become if left untreated or if the body is unable to clear itself. This patient's body was so backed up that it had nowhere else to go. In short, she died after vomiting and choking on her own stool, a very rare and disturbing outcome. Story 23. My dad used to be a police officer and had some pretty intense stories about strange deaths he came across. One story I remember well was about a suicide. This man had been fighting with his girlfriend, and they broke up. A few days later, the girlfriend calmed down and decided to visit him to try and work things out. But when she got to his place, she found him dead inside his car, which was parked in the garage. He had gassed himself. By the time they found him, he had been inside the car for 3 days during the heat of summer. His body had swollen so much that it basically filled the entire driver's seat. The car was parked very close to one side of the garage wall, So to move the car out and make room for the officers to work, one police officer had to carefully reach past the bloated body to release the handbrake. When they finally rolled the car out, they discovered a huge puddle of bodily fluids underneath it, fluids that had leaked out over the 3 days. It was so bad that all the officers who were there had to burn their uniforms afterward. Story 24. This story takes me back to my days as an EMT in a small town, where sometimes our job went beyond just medical help. We'd end up doing things like cleanup or helping with body pickups. One hot August day in Virginia, we got a call for a welfare check. The homeowner was an elderly lady who hadn't been seen or heard from in weeks, and people were worried. When we arrived, even before we got to the door, a terrible smell hit us. It was like a mix of swampy heat and rotting flesh, something truly awful. We couldn't get the door open, so I had to kick it down. Right inside, on the left, was the elderly lady, who was very overweight. She had been dead for about 3 weeks, and her body was badly decomposed. Chunks of rotten flesh were stuck to the leather chair she sat in. Her body was covered in flies, and disgusting liquid was leaking from every opening. I immediately threw up, and my partner wasn't far behind. The scene was so hazardous that we had to call for respirators and hazmat suits to protect ourselves. Moving her in the chair, which together weighed around 400 pounds, was a tough job. We had to bring in 5 people, including police officers, just to get her out safely. Apparently, they wanted the entire scene preserved for an autopsy, so we didn't question it. A few months later, I quit that job. Now I work in app development, which is definitely less stressful and way less disgusting. Story 25. My dad worked as a field agent for a medical examiner's office in Texas for about 25 years. Sometimes he would share stories from his job. Most cases he handled were natural deaths, suicides, or car accidents. But his very first case was something very unusual, a homicide. The victim was a postal worker who had been killed with an axe by a teenage boy. What happened was that the boy was lured into the postal worker's home and was being assaulted. During a struggle, the boy grabbed an axe and swung it, killing the man. Afterwards, the boy called 911 and reported the body. That's when my dad arrived at the scene. He shared many other stories, but most were either warnings to me when I was a teenager, like don't ride motorcycles or always wear a seatbelt, or were examples of dark humor from the medical examiner's office. In short, my dad's first case on the job was an axe murder. Story 26. When I was in high school, I worked part-time at a funeral home. In our county, there wasn't a morgue yet, so the funeral homes took turns each month handling all the deaths that would normally go to a morgue. We called it County Month. The strangest thing I ever saw during those months was a person who had committed suicide by drinking some kind of poison that turned their entire body bright blue. It was such a shocking sight. The body looked like an early version of the Blue Man Group. It really stuck with me as one of the most unusual cases I ever came across. Story 27. I'm a nurse and spent the early part of my career working in a psychiatric hospital. One of my first patients was a woman with a rare condition called pica, which means she ate things she shouldn't. She also practiced extreme self-harm by eating parts of her own body, something no one at the hospital had seen before. When I first met her, she had already eaten 4 of her fingers and 3 of her toes. She had also bitten off most of her tongue and the outer parts of her lips. Because of how dangerous this was, she had to be almost constantly restrained to keep her safe. One day, a family member visited and decided to take her home while she was out of restraints, even though the doctors strongly advised against it. Sadly, after being home for a few weeks, she died from blood loss caused by a large wound she had picked at on her leg. Another story a coworker shared was about a man who came into the ER with a huge eggplant stuck in his rectum. The man said his friend had surprised him and pushed it in as a prank. He needed major surgery and had to get a colostomy, which is an opening in the abdomen to allow waste to leave the body. Unfortunately, he later died from an infection. There are many terrible stories like these involving people putting things where they shouldn't. So please don't stick large objects up your butt. Story 28. I worked for a while in a county coroner's office, and one time I got to go with a team on a strange call. They found a man's body in a barn, face down inside a 55-gallon drum. When we pulled him out, the body was bloated, covered in waste, and smelled worse than anything I or even the experienced coroner had ever smelled before. It was August, so the decomposition had moved fast. The police found a camcorder nearby on a tripod and thought it might be a gang-related crime. But when we watched the video, it turned out the man had a scat fetish. He had been regularly using the drum to relieve himself, then would open the lid, lean over, and masturbate. The cause of death was a heart attack followed by drowning. He was masturbating, suffered cardiac arrest, and fell into the drum, drowning in the liquid inside. Story 29. My cousin works as an EMT in Chicago and has seen some wild cases. Here are a few that really stood out. One was a bodybuilder who died at home trying to squat way too much weight. He did something called red socking. That's when you herniate your anus and part of your intestine comes out. This guy had nearly 2 feet of intestine hanging out. Another case involved a morbidly obese man who died while masturbating. He had shoved a can of soup, lubricated with honey, up his rectum. The stimulation of his prostate was so intense that he had a heart attack. My cousin had to respond to the scene of a naked, sweaty, obese man who died with a soup can still inside him. And then there was a flasher who walked into a convenience store late at night. When the cashier had her back turned, he placed his penis on the counter. She turned around, panicked, and grabbed a can of creamed corn she was stocking and smashed his penis, completely severing it. The guy died from blood loss because an erection causes a lot of blood flow. Story 30. A friend of mine who worked for the coroner's office once told me a story that stuck with him. It was about a man named Joe. Joe had some tough family stuff going on. He wasn't living with his mom, but with his grandma, who was more like a parent trying to keep him on track. Like many teens, Joe did what he wanted and came and went as he pleased. One day, a storm hit town. Joe's mom was sent to the hospital for health problems. Grandma wanted Joe to come visit his mom with her, but he refused and said he'd go on his own time. After they argued, Joe left, driving off on his own. He ended up at a park, and on his way out toward the highway, a large tree branch fell and crushed his car, killing him. Someone called 911, and the sheriff arrived and called the coroner. Firefighters worked for hours cutting the tree and car to get Joe's body out. When Grandma got to the scene, she showed no sympathy. She said it was karma and that Joe deserved it, speaking badly about him. Joe's mom came later and broke down when she finally understood what happened. She was taken by police because she had been reported missing at the hospital. After the rescue, my friend followed up on Joe's case. Because of how Joe's body was trapped, most of it had been squeezed out through the car and tree, like Play-Doh pressed through openings. Part of the tree even stayed with Joe's body. The cause of death was drowning. His lungs were full of water. Investigators figured that water from the storm and rain collected on the car roof. It kept falling on Joe's face like a small waterfall. No one knows if Joe was awake during all that, but he couldn't have survived the ordeal. It took 2 to 3 hours to cut through the metal and tree to reach him. It's a strange and sad story. Joe died in a way that didn't seem obvious at first. Story 31. These stories are from my mom, who worked as a nurse in the emergency room. One night, the coroner called her to come see a body. It was a woman who died in a car accident, not from the crash itself, but because she was burned alive in her car after the accident. The woman had been driving very fast on a steep highway during a rainy night. My mom said when the coroner moved the body, the bones made a sound like milk being poured over Rice Krispies. At another hospital, a nurse was told to give a patient cranberry juice and to irrigate his Foley catheter, a tube draining urine. But she accidentally used cranberry juice to irrigate the catheter itself. Sadly, the patient died the next day because of this mistake. On a different occasion at yet another hospital, my mom cared for a patient who had a bed sore on the back of her head. When the sore was cleaned out, the woman's brain was actually visible through the wound. Shockingly, the woman was still alive the whole time. Story 32. Back when I was in med school, during my internship at the coroner's office, I saw a really strange case. A man in his late 50s was found dead at home, but under very unusual circumstances, his body was standing up in the bedroom. One of his legs was raised and resting on the bed, as if he was about to climb on, but he suddenly died right there. After examining the body, the doctors concluded he had a severe heart attack. There was no sign that anyone had moved the body after death. The puzzling part was how his body stayed standing like that. The theory was either someone found him early and held his body upright until rigor mortis set in and made him stiff enough to stand on his own, or his death was so sudden that his body just happened to stay perfectly balanced without falling. Story 33. A friend of mine is a police officer. One day, he was called to do a welfare check on a middle-aged man who was very obese and had diabetes. My friend knocked on the front door, but got no answer. So he entered the house and found the man lying on the floor, barely alive. The man had been there for 3 days. When someone lies still that long, blood pools in their lower legs, turning them dark blue. And it's even worse for diabetics. The man was naked and covered in his own waste. There was a trail of it leading all the way to the bathroom. My friend said the smell was so bad it almost made him leave the house. He had only been on the job for 2 months and realized at that moment, "This is my life now." He called paramedics, but sadly, the man died at the hospital. They later learned the man had a stroke while on the toilet. He tried to get to the front door to call for help, but collapsed halfway there, leaving a trail behind him that stayed for 3 days before he was found. My friend told me that even almost a year later, he still smells that terrible smell in his mind. Nothing he did that night could erase the memory or the taste. The worst part, he said, was when the medics managed to wake the man up briefly. He couldn't move or speak, but his eyes were open, looking around as 10 strangers worked to save him. He must have known what was happening and that he was dying. My friend thinks the man was probably terrified but helpless. Story 34. I'm a pre-med student studying forensic science. In my first year, I had a case study about a man trying to enter the country illegally by hiding inside a freight shipment of bananas. He was found dead in the middle of the banana boxes. The bananas were going through butyric fermentation. Basically, they were rotting and producing a strong smell. One of the most noticeable things was that his right leg was much more swollen than the rest of his body. It turned out he had been bitten by a spider while inside the banana shipment. The bite got infected, and he wasn't able to get out or find help. It was really unfortunate. But technically, he did make it to America, just not alive. Story 35. A few months ago, I came across a case involving two brothers in their mid-20s who had spent a night drinking downtown. They decided to drive home, which was about a 25-minute drive, late at night. While on the highway, they got into an argument. The driver got so angry that he bit the other brother on the shoulder, not to a zombie-level bite, but pretty serious. Then the driver stopped the car right in the middle of the highway, and the two started fighting outside the car. It was pitch black outside, making everything even more dangerous. At that moment, a police officer was driving on the interstate and accidentally ran over something. The officer stopped to see what he had hit and found the driver's body. Then the officer looked up and saw the other brother, who was drunk and stumbling on the highway, get hit by a semi-truck. It was a tragic and chaotic scene, all caused by a night of drinking and a family fight. Story 36. I'm a vet technician, and where I worked, we often saw really bad cases because we worked closely with sheriffs in the county. We got a lot of hoarders' animals and cases of neglect. One day, we had a chicken brought in that was in terrible shape. Maggots were crawling all over her backside. It was like a constant, moving swarm. She was waiting on the treatment table to be euthanized. Someone was holding her while we waited for the doctor. Then, suddenly, her entire backside exploded. Clear fluid and maggots sprayed out about 8 feet. Her bladder and a giant cyst sac fell out. Story 37. A friend of the public affairs officer from the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation once shared a tragic story with me. A group of young people decided to have a paragliding outing on a lake. One young man was in the harness and took off, gliding above the water. But something went wrong, and he fell, hitting the lake hard. The people in the boat quickly cut the engine. After about a minute, the young man struggled to the surface. Seeing him move his arm, they thought, "He's okay," and sped up again. But his parachute had taken on water, and it pulled him under the surface once more. The driver cut the engine again. After a longer wait this time, the young man came up again and waved weakly. The people cheered and sped off once more. Again, the parachute pulled him under. They cut the engine and waited, hoping he would come back up. He never did. Since it was a church group, they began praying for him, but sadly, it was too late. Story 38. I'm an X-ray technician, and I heard this wild story from a coworker. A tech did a chest X-ray on a man in the ICU who had severe pneumonia. The man was struggling to breathe. On the X-ray, his lungs showed up completely white. Normally, lungs look a mix of black air and gray tissue or mucus, but his were all white, which means something very dense, like bone or metal, was inside. The tech was confused and called the doctor to ask about the patient's medical history. The doctor told a strange story. The man had been drinking heavily and looking for drugs. He broke into his neighbor's garage and found a powder in the neighbor's fishing tackle box. He snorted all of it. A few days later, he developed pneumonia. It turned out the fisherman's sister had died years before, and the fisherman kept her ashes in the tackle box so she could go fishing with him. The man had actually snorted the metallic ashes of the dead woman. Sadly, he died a week later. Story 39. I'm not a morgue worker myself, but I have a friend who is, and I've heard a lot of stories from them. One surprising thing is that many people actually die on the toilet, usually while trying to have a bowel movement. Sometimes their loved ones try to cover it up, but morgue workers always figure out what really happened. Not many people pass away peacefully in their sleep, especially in low-income families where there are many kids but not enough beds. It's sadly common for a bigger child to accidentally roll over on a smaller child and suffocate them during the night. There was even one man who died on the toilet, not because he was using it normally, but because he got his butt stuck in the seat. I'll have to ask my friend for more stories to share. Story 40. This story was told to me by my college professor, and oddly enough, my dad confirmed it. Back when my professor was a medical student, he used to watch autopsies like many med students do. One day, he saw the body of a heavy, bearded man from Connecticut, about 70 years old. The man was very much dead. The official cause of death was related to heart problems, but when they examined his feet, which were covered in large welts, they found massive deposits of calcium crystals. At first, they thought it was a rare case of calcium pyrophosphate deposition, a common condition where calcium crystals build up in joints. But what shocked them was how large the crystal deposits were. According to my professor, there was enough calcium in the man's feet to be seen as big crystals. That kind of buildup would require a huge amount of calcium. My professor said it was like eating a small pack of Tums every day. Later at Christmas, I was telling my family about this strange case when my dad spoke up. He said that when he was a young engineer in Connecticut, he worked with a bearded 70-year-old man who ate a jar of Tums every day until he died. I checked, and the two men my dad and professor knew were probably the same person. I wanted to tell you more, but I'm eating pizza and have to get to work soon, so I'll keep it short. Story 41. I'm late to the conversation and not a medical professional, but I want to share a sad story about a friend of my girlfriend from high school. Her name was Haley. Haley was about 15 or 16 and loved going on boating trips with her family at a nearby lake. They would spend fun days tubing, swimming, and just enjoying time together. One day, Haley was sitting in an inner tube behind the boat, waiting to be pulled along. Tragically, her dad accidentally put the boat in reverse and hit the throttle, causing the boat to suddenly shoot backward. The boat ran over Haley. The blades of the motor's propeller tore through the inner tube and almost completely cut Haley in half. Even worse, her dad had been drinking at the time. He was found responsible for the accident and went to prison. Haley's mom was left alone, and the whole family was shattered by the tragedy. It's a heartbreaking reminder of how quickly accidents can happen and the devastating effects they leave behind. Story 42. My dad has been a medical examiner and forensic pathologist for many years. His specialty is diseases, but he's also really experienced with all kinds of deaths and injuries, especially gunshot and knife wounds. Being the kid of a medical examiner is pretty strange. When my dad picked me up from school, it wasn't unusual to hear him on the phone saying things like, "Yeah, he shot her in the back with a 12-gauge. Yes, the kids too." Or when I'd ask how his day was, he might say, "Had another obese guy today, so I'm really wiped out." One time, I even found a picture of a dead baby while setting the dinner table. I try to get in touch with him to share some of his stories, but he's a bit old school and cautious. He wanted to tell his stories to me first and review them before I shared anything. I was hoping to see him on Monday and maybe get some interesting stories to share. But due to privacy concerns, he decided not to contribute in the end. He said he didn't feel comfortable sharing details. Even though I won't be posting his stories, I'm thankful this brought us closer. We had a great talk about the tough parts of his job, things he doesn't usually talk about. Story 43. Hey, I have a story to share from my father-in-law. He's retired now but spent 30 years in law enforcement, retiring as a homicide detective. He's got tons of stories, but this one stands out. He got called to a single car accident where the car had gone off the road and ended up in a ditch. When he arrived, he found the passenger outside the car, in shock and freaking out. The detective calmed him down and went to check the vehicle. The car had run along a long stretch of chain-link fence, about a quarter of a mile, pressing hard against it at high speed. What happened was the driver was goofing around with his friend, sticking his upper body out of the car window while driving. We've all done stupid stuff like that before. But at about 70 miles per hour, he lost control and swerved into the fence. He got pinned between the fence and the weight of the car. The fence literally shredded him down to the waist. Pieces of his body were stuck in the chain-link fence for nearly the whole quarter mile. All that was left in the car was a bloody, pulpy mess in his lower half, with much of the spinal column still attached. My father-in-law calls this the great accident. Story 44. I'm not a doctor or morgue worker, but I work in healthcare and handle medical records, including discharge documents and autopsy reports. One of the worst things I've learned about is called hemorrhage from esophageal varices. Here's what I understand about it. People with liver cirrhosis often develop something called varices in their esophagus. Varices are like swollen veins, kind of like ulcers, but really they are enlarged veins. These varices can grow near major blood vessels. Over time, the walls of the esophagus and these vessels get thinner and weaker. Sometimes, the varices can break through the esophagus and cause massive bleeding. In extreme cases, blood pours out of the patient's mouth. If this happens outside of a hospital or medical care, the person can die within minutes. From what I've read, it can be a very gruesome and frightening sight, like something out of a horror movie, but it's real. Story 45. I'm a registered nurse working in aged care. We had a resident with advanced ovarian cancer who was nearing the end of her life. She had a condition called ascites, which means fluid builds up in the space inside her abdomen, causing it to swell. One day, while she was lying in bed and talking, she suddenly said she felt off. Not long after, something ruptured inside her, either the fluid-filled space or her stomach, and a large amount of light brown, odorless fluid started gushing out of her mouth and nose. There was a lot of it. I like to think she wasn't fully conscious when it happened because her face was very blank and her eyes looked vague the whole time. But still, it couldn't have been a comfortable way to pass. Story 46. One time, we found a man who had hammered a rusty nail into the middle of his shin bone. Not a proper surgical repair, just a why. The nail was even sticking out of his skin. The tissue around it had healed, so it had been there a while. That wasn't the cause of death, though. He drank about 3 bottles of wine a day, and that finally did him in. I'm always amazed at how much alcohol some people can handle for so long before it catches up with them. In another case, there was a homicide where they found a tiny fetus in the woman's uterus. She was in the very early stages of pregnancy, probably didn't even know she was pregnant. Because of this, in my state, it's treated as a double homicide. And then there was a poor woman who choked on a chicken nugget and died. Story 47. On June 29, 2007, I was driving home from my sister's birthday party late at night on I-45 through Houston. It was around 2:30 a.m., and I saw a man lying across the right lane of the highway. I pulled over to try to help him. As I got out, a motorcycle rider without a helmet crashed into the man's ribs and then flew headfirst into the concrete. Miraculously, the biker jumped up with just some bad road rash and broken ribs. We moved his bike off the road and tried to reach the man lying on the highway, but cars were speeding down at 70 miles per hour, and we couldn't get to him. I was standing about 10 feet away when cars started hitting the man one after another. By the time the police arrived and stopped traffic, the man's head and brain were gone, scattered along the road. When the cops showed up, I was standing there with his blood on my jeans and his cell phone in my hands, which I had found on the road. It turned out he had been crouched in the road when a semi-truck came up behind him. The truck driver didn't see him until it was too late. The man tried to stand up but was crushed. Apparently, he had just been drinking at a bar, ran out of gas, and was walking to the nearest gas station. He dropped his phone or something else on the road, bent over to pick it up while drunk, and never saw the truck coming. Story 48. I had a friend who worked for my city's mortuary transport team. They pick up dead bodies and bring them to the morgue. I asked him a question about the strangest cases he'd seen, and he told me about a morbidly obese man who got stuck in his hot tub and had no way to get out. Neighbors called because there was a terrible smell coming from the house. When the team arrived, they found the man severely decomposed, still stuck in a hot tub. During the autopsy, they discovered both of his legs were broken in several places, which had made it impossible for him to move. It's believed that this injury caused a panic attack that led to a fatal heart attack, which was the actual cause of death. Story 49. I worked at a mental health hospital a year or two ago that cared for seriously suicidal patients. One day, a man came in saying he had strong thoughts about ending his life but seemed otherwise calm and polite. He asked if he could take a shower, and the staff agreed, but with strict checks every 15 minutes to make sure he was okay. When the staff went to check on him, they found him on the shower floor, choking and turning blue. They called an emergency code and tried everything to save him, but sadly, he died right there. What he had done was shocking. He turned on the shower, shoved almost an entire roll of toilet paper down his throat, and stood under the water with his mouth open. The soaked toilet paper became impossible to remove, even with rescue techniques like the Heimlich maneuver. Much of the paper was even sucked into his lungs, blocking his airway. This tragic story shows that when someone is determined, they can find ways to harm themselves that are hard to stop. Story 50. I didn't work for the coroner, but I used to work in a research lab where we sometimes had to remove tissue samples from bodies for experiments. Some of the cases we saw were really disturbing. One man committed suicide by duct taping a small circular power saw to his hand, leaving it turned on, and then dragging it across his neck. I guess he did that so he couldn't change his mind. Another man tried to kill himself by setting himself on fire in a parking lot. Bystanders managed to put out the flames, but he later died in the hospital. When he got to the coroner's office, they had to make long cuts along his arms and legs because his muscles were so swollen, but his skin was too badly burned to stretch. There was also a tragic case of a 16-year-old boy who died from autoerotic asphyxiation. We arrived early, and he was still wearing fishnet stockings and a schoolgirl skirt. His poor mom found him like that. Story 51. I'm not a medical professional, but my dad and his brothers worked together at a paper mill in British Columbia and often shared stories about the worst accidents they saw. One story sticks out about a guy on their crew who was known as a total slacker. He often skipped his duties, took long breaks, and had been caught sleeping on the job several times. During a maintenance downtime, this guy disappeared. The crew couldn't find him anywhere. Security was called, and everyone started searching for signs he'd fallen or gotten hurt, but no luck. They figured he might have gone to the nearby pub, so they sent a couple of people, including a security guard, to look for him. Meanwhile, the crew finished maintenance and prepared to start up the paper machines again. One important part is called the beater, which is like a giant thresher that breaks down waste paper to be recycled. Here's the terrible part. This lazy guy decided to take a nap, but instead of going to a break room, he crawled into the beater to sleep, probably because it was warmer in there. As you can guess, there wasn't much left of him after the machine started up. Just a few pieces of flesh and an arm cut off at the elbow. Luckily, he had a long service wristwatch on that arm, which was personalized. That made it clear who it was. Story 52. I'm probably late to this, but last year I was taking a crime scene photography class. Near the end of the semester, our professor showed us photos from some closed cases. One case was about a man who died in his small home in Louisiana during the hot summer. He had been dead for several days, and the heat had caused his body to bloat and turn almost completely black with rot and other things growing on him. When the paramedics and crime scene investigators arrived, the smell was so bad that the new guys threw up all over the lawn. The cause of death was choking on some chicken he was eating. But that's not the worst part. When they rolled his body into the body bag, he barely fit. As soon as they lifted the bag, his innards liquefied and started seeping out. Story 53. When I was in EMT school, we asked a veteran paramedic and fire chief instructor with 40 years of experience about the worst cases he had seen. He told us about the first time he was called to a scene where a man had committed suicide by putting a grenade in his mouth. The explosion blew off his lower jaw and destroyed most of his face. No eyes or nose left, but somehow his brain was still intact. The police said he was dead, but the paramedic noticed he still had a pulse and was making noises every few seconds. The noise was breathing, air moving through the bloody stump where his face used to be. The paramedics managed to insert a breathing tube when the man exhaled, opening up the airway. They did everything they could to get him to the hospital, but sadly, he died 3 hours later. All of this happened because a girl had said no to a date with him. Story 54. I'm a firefighter and paramedic, and one of the saddest calls I responded to was about 6 or 7 years ago. Two little boys were playing in the backyard. Their family had a big sand pile about 5 feet tall because they were doing construction on the house. The boys were digging a tunnel through the sand pile. One of them went back home next door, but the other kept playing. The boy tried to crawl through the tunnel they had made, but it collapsed on him. About 10 to 15 minutes passed before his mom found him. We started CPR right away. It was hard to help him breathe because his airway was filled with sand, but we managed to get his pulse back.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.